Hey, this is Nicholas. Let's talk about the foot tie-in spleen channel. As usual, the way we go through it is we start by looking at the general functions and characteristics of the spleen, and then we'll get into the channel pathways, and finally, we'll look at the individual point functions. So I'll put the time codes in the description below in case you want to jump around to the different sections, and if you want to follow along with the slides, those are available to download on the website. On the website, there's also a spleen channel practice test you can take. So I'll go ahead and put links to those in the description below as well. So let's go ahead and get started. As always, we start by discussing the normal functions and characteristics of the spleen, because once we know what the normal functions of the spleen are, that will give some insight into what happens when things go wrong, and it will also give us some insight into what these points can do for us and in what situations we would choose points on the spleen channel for treatment. So a convenient place to start is Chapter 8 of the Suwen. This is the chapter in the Nei Jing where each organ is given a government office and a related function. So this is where we say the heart is the emperor and is the issuer of spirit clarity, the lung is the prime minister in charge of management and regulation, and the liver is the general in charge of strategy and planning. Well here, Chapter 8 says, the spleen stomach holds the office of the granaries and issues the five flavors. So when we talk about the office of the granaries, we're of course talking about digestion. The stomach rots and ripens the food, and the spleen transforms and transports the essence of grain and water. So clinically what this means is, anytime we see any type of digestive complaint, like epigastric pain, poor appetite, or loose stools, it's likely that we'll turn to the spleen or stomach channels for treatment. We can also note that there are a lot of diseases in Western medicine that are attributed to the small intestine or the large intestine, but in Chinese medicine, we tend to go to the spleen or stomach for diagnosis and treatment. So with things like Crohn's, IBS, constipation, and diarrhea, even though they sound like large intestine issues, in Chinese medicine, we might be more likely to choose points on the spleen and stomach channels for treatment. And then when we say the spleen issues the five flavors, this is referring to nutrition. The spleen is a source of postnatal qi, and the other organs rely on the proper functioning of the spleen for nourishment. So what this means clinically is, if there's any type of deficiency, even if it's in another organ, we can still go to points on the spleen and stomach channel for tonification. So like with stomach 36, Zhu San Li, we saw that this point pretty much tonifies everything. So we're going to see some similar things happening on the spleen channel. The other interesting thing about this statement is, it says, the spleen stomach holds the office of the granaries. Now this is the only instance in Chapter 8 of the Suwen where two organs share the same office. So what this is telling us is that there's a very close relationship between these two organs, possibly closer than any other yin-yang pair. In fact, we tend to refer to the spleen and stomach collectively as just the middle jiao. So we might say middle jiao qi deficiency or dampness obstructing the middle jiao. However, if we really wanted to differentiate them, there are three major differences between the spleen and stomach in terms of temperature, moisture, and direction. In terms of temperature, the spleen likes to be warm and is averse to cold, whereas the stomach likes to be cool and is averse to heat. The spleen likes dryness and has an aversion to dampness, while the stomach likes to be moist but has an aversion to dryness. In terms of direction, the spleen has an upward direction, while the stomach has a downward direction. Now this not only refers to the direction of the channel, but also function. The spleen governs upbearing and raises the clear yang, while the stomach governs downbearing and downbears the food into the small intestine. So this explains why certain diagnoses tend to go with one organ over the other. So if there's heat in the middle jiao, we'll probably call it stomach fire. If there's yang deficiency, we'll probably say spleen yang deficiency. If the patient has nausea, vomiting, belching, or hiccup, we'll call that rebellious stomach qi or counterflow ascent of stomach qi. If the patient has organ prolapse, we'll call that spleen qi sinking. So this can give us some general ideas about when to use the stomach channel or the spleen channel for treatment. For example, if we want to clear heat, we'll probably use points on the stomach channel. But if we want to drain dampness, we'll probably use points on the spleen channel instead. But again, these two systems are very closely related, and there's going to be a lot of overlap, and it's very common to combine both spleen and stomach channel points during a treatment. So that was maybe a little bit of a tangent, so let's get back to talking more specifically about the functions and characteristics of the spleen channel.
So here we can get into a little more detail about the functions and characteristics of the spleen channel. And again, the reason we spend so much time here is because understanding the functions of the spleen as a whole will help us understand the functions and indications of the individual points. Like we mentioned before, the spleen governs the transformation and transportation of water and grain, and this refers to digestion. The spleen extracts the nutrients, or goo qi, from the food and sends it where it needs to go, ultimately supplying nutrition to all the other organs and tissues in the body. So what this means clinically is, number one, a lot of digestive complaints can be treated using points on the spleen channel, such as epigastric pain, poor appetite, or diarrhea. These are all signs that the spleen is failing in its function of properly transforming food. What this also means is any type of deficiency can be treated through the spleen channel, since the formation of qi in blood relies on the proper extraction of nutrients by the spleen. And next we say the spleen moves qi and transforms dampness. This is really just another aspect of the spleen's function of transformation and transportation. Not only does the spleen transform and transport the essence of food, it also transforms and transports water and dampness. So clinically, we can use points on the spleen channel to regulate the water passages, treating things like edema, swelling of the limbs, or urination problems. And also for transforming dampness for things like diarrhea, vaginal discharge, jaundice, body heaviness, or even B syndrome, which usually has a component of dampness to it. Next, we see that the spleen governs blood. Now, the Chinese term here is tong, so this might get translated as the spleen governs blood, manages the blood, controls the blood, or even unifies or unites the blood, depending on which book you're reading. One way to think of this is the heart moves the blood, sending it through the body, the liver stores the blood at the deepest levels, and the spleen governs the blood or manages how it interacts with the tissues of the body and brings it together into an interconnected system. If that sounds weird and complicated, practically, when we say the spleen governs the blood, we're really talking about two things. Number one, the spleen has a role in the formation of blood, because again, we need proper extraction of nutrients in order to create blood. And number two, the spleen is responsible for holding the blood inside the vessels. So what this means for us clinically is, again, for any type of blood deficiency, it's common to choose points on the spleen channel for tonification. And also, because the spleen holds the blood inside the vessels, we can turn to the spleen channel to treat certain types of bleeding conditions, especially bleeding due to deficiency, for things like easy bruising, profuse menses or heavy periods, prolonged menses where the bleeding lasts for a long time, or spotting between periods. Next, the spleen is responsible for the muscles and the four limbs. Again, these tissues rely on the spleen for nourishment, so if the spleen fails in this function, we might see weakness in the four limbs, atrophy of the muscles, or pain. Or, if there's dampness accumulating, we might see heaviness in the body or inability to lift the four limbs. The spleen opens to the mouth and dominates the sense of taste. Chapter 17 of the Ling Shu says, spleen qi connects with the mouth. If the spleen is healthy, the mouth can taste the five grains. So this means we can use the spleen channel to treat things like poor appetite, loss of sense of taste, stiff tongue, and because saliva is the fluid of the spleen, we can treat things like excessive salivation. And the spleen raises qi and counters prolapse. Like we said, the stomach has a downward direction, but the spleen has an upward direction. So we can use points on the spleen channel to treat certain sinking conditions, like uterine prolapse, rectal prolapse, hemorrhoids, diarrhea can be considered a form of spleen qi sinking, as well as things like excessive bleeding during menstruation or frequent miscarriage. And another characteristic of the spleen is that it houses the yi, which is often translated as intellect or intent. Some people think of this as, just like you have to digest food, you have to digest your thoughts as well, and this is how random ideas form into organized thoughts. So on the one hand, excessive thinking or over-concentration can damage the spleen and maybe cause digestion problems. On the other hand, if the spleen is deficient, this can lead to disorganized thought, slow thinking, poor memory, and poor concentration. This is why students who study a lot tend to develop spleen problems. The constant sitting, overthinking, and worrying taxes the spleen. Next, we'll look at the channel pathways. Again, understanding the pathways of the channels can give us further understanding of point functions and why these points can do the things that they do. So we'll start with the primary channel. The channel begins at spleen 1. Remember, our linkage from the previous channel was this internal pathway from stomach 42 to spleen 1, so that's why the channel starts at spleen 1. The channel ascends the medial side of the leg up to the inguinal area, then it zigzags a couple times to meet with the Wren channel on the midline, then it goes up to the chest to right below lung 1, and comes back down to the 7th intercostal space. But what we really want to pay attention to are these internal pathways. Remember, each channel connects to its own organ and its yin-yang pair, so of course we have an internal pathway that connects to the spleen and the stomach. This branch then goes up and spreads over the lower surface of the tongue. Now this is important partly because they like to ask this question on tests, and we should point out that the spleen primary channel specifically spreads over the lower surface of the tongue, just because there are other channels that just go to the root of the tongue and stop there. So if you ever get a question on a test about which channel spreads over the lower surface of the tongue, make sure you say the spleen primary channel. But this will also come up when we look at the point functions. We'll see that some points are indicated for stiffness of the tongue and impaired speech. Maybe you can remember that the spleen dominates the sense of taste, so it makes sense that the channel connects to the tongue. Then we have this other branch that goes from Wren 10 to the heart organ. So when we look at the point functions, we'll see that there are a lot of points with a function calms the spirit or calms the shen. The reason these points can do this is because of this internal pathway that connects to the heart. In fact, there's a very common pattern we see in the clinic called spleen qi deficiency leading to heart blood deficiency, presenting with symptoms like palpitations, anxiety, and insomnia. So points on the spleen channel are going to be very useful for treating this pattern. And this branch is also the linkage to the next channel in the flow of qi. So when we look at the heart channel, we'll see that the heart channel begins in the heart organ. So this is how the qi gets from the spleen channel to the heart channel, through this branch. So when we look at the pathologies of the spleen channel, these should all make sense. Epigastric pain, abdominal distension, and loose stools are all signs that the spleen is failing in its digestive function, or failing to transform and transport water and grain. Jaundice and heaviness in the body are signs of dampness, and the spleen is responsible for transforming dampness. Lassitude just means lack of energy, or physical and mental fatigue, which is a sign of spleen qi deficiency. Stiffness and pain in the root of the tongue, because the channel goes to the tongue, and then swelling and cold along the course of the channel. So next, we look at the low connecting channel. Remember, all low connecting channels start at the low connecting point, so the spleen low channel starts at spleen 4, and all low connecting channels connect to their yin-yang paired channel, so the spleen low channel connects to the stomach channel. The channel also ascends the leg and enters the abdomen, and along the way, it connects to the intestines and the stomach. And this is something to pay attention to, because not a lot of low connecting channels enter organs. So clinically, the things we can treat with the Lowell connecting channel have a lot to do with the stomach and intestines, things like stomach pain, intestinal pain, vomiting, and diarrhea. And remember, we said that the spleen and stomach are very closely related and have a lot of complementary functions. So spleen 4 can be very useful to balance out the upward direction of the spleen with the downward direction of the stomach. So that's why we say that spleen 4 harmonizes the middle jowl, because it's able to balance out these opposite directions. And that's what makes it useful in treating vomiting and diarrhea, especially if they're happening at the same time. So the deficiency symptoms should make sense. If there's deficiency, we might see water accumulation, poor nutrition, or poor digestion. In excess conditions, we might see pain in the stomach and intestines. So when we see rebellious qi and vomiting listed here, that's referring to the stomach failing in its function of downbearing the qi and downbearing the food into the small intestine. So even though this is a stomach condition, we can treat it on the spleen channel because this is the Luo connecting point. So the next one we look at is a little unusual, It's called the spleen great lobe, or the great lobe connecting channel of the spleen. So the spleen is special because it not only has a regular lobe connecting channel, just like all the other channels, but it also has this additional lobe channel called the spleen great lobe. So if you're ever reading a text or a classic and it mentions something about the 14 channels and the 15 network vessels, and you're wondering, why are there 15 lobe channels? Where did this extra one come from? Well, this is what they're talking about, the great lobe connecting channel of the spleen. That's the extra one that makes it add up to 15. So the spleen great lobe starts at spleen 21, which is on the side of the chest. And this channel doesn't really have a pathway. It just spreads across the chest and the lateral costal region. And then it gathers the blood of the lobe connecting channels of the entire body. So clinically, what we can use this for are conditions of the entire body, like weakness of the whole body or whole body pain. Remember, we said that the spleen governs the muscles and the four limbs, so that might be one way to explain why we can use this point to treat weakness, atrophy, flaccidity, or pain over the entire body. So next we have the divergent channel. Remember what we said about the pathways of divergent channels. They separate or diverge from the primary channel on the extremities. They enter body cavities. They emerge near the head or neck, and then converge with the yang paired channel. So the spleen divergent channel separates or diverges from the primary channel on the inner thigh. We don't really say a specific point, we just say on the thigh. Then it dives deep and enters the body cavity in the inguinal area around spleen 12 or stomach 30. It follows the stomach divergent channel up until it emerges at the throat. Then it converges or unites with the stomach channel at the mouth. Then we also say that the spleen divergent channel penetrates the tongue. So with the spleen, both the primary channel and the divergent channel connect to the tongue. So in terms of what this channel can treat, we see qi and blood deficiency because the spleen is responsible for the formation of qi and blood through proper digestion. We see mental disorders because of this connection to the heart. Then we see a whole lot of digestive problems. Hematemesis and tarry stools are bleeding disorders. Remember, one of the functions of the spleen is to hold the blood inside the vessels. We see dampness and phlegm, especially in the throat, because this channel goes to the throat. Then we see disorders of the mouth and tongue because the divergent channel goes to the mouth and tongue. Next, we have the sinew channel, and it starts out looking how we would expect it to look. It starts at the big toe, and then it basically follows the primary channel binding at the joints. It binds at the ankle, binds at the knee, and binds at the groin. But then, where it gets interesting, it makes a little loop and goes to the external genitals, it binds at the umbilicus, binds at the ribs, and spreads over the chest, and finally adheres to the spine. So when we look at the point indications, we might see things like abdominal pain, periumbilical pain, lumbar pain, or inability to turn the trunk. So if you're just looking at the pathway of the primary channel, those indications might look a little weird, like how can spleen points treat lumbar pain when the spleen channel doesn't really go to the lumbar area? Well, the reason we can treat lumbar pain is because the sinew channel adheres to the spine. So all of these pathologies should make sense in terms of the pathway of the sinew channel. So next, we look at the point functions, starting with spleen 1. Spleen 1 is located on the medial side of the big toe, next to the corner of the nail. Since it's the most distal point, that makes it the Jingwell point. So it does the normal Jingwell point things. Jingwell points are the most superficial, so they can quickly clear excess and even restore consciousness. So we see spleen 1 treating things like sudden swelling of the four limbs, sudden diarrhea, and also reviving consciousness. Jingwell points treat the upper end of the channel, which in this case is the chest, and Jingwell points are indicated for fullness below the heart, which in this case is also the chest. So those are all things that we expect from a Jingwell point, but what really makes spleen 1 stand out is its ability to stop bleeding. Remember, we said that one of the functions of the spleen was to govern blood and hold it in place. So spleen 1 is especially useful for chronic bleeding due to deficiency, especially for things like uterine bleeding, menorrhagia, or spotting between periods. For these situations, it's common to use moxa on spleen 1, either stick moxa or direct cones. Here, you can even send the patient home with a moxa pole and instruct them to do moxa on the point themselves every day. But even though it's most commonly used for uterine bleeding, it turns out that spleen 1 can be used for bleeding anywhere in the body due to any cause. So, nosebleed, vomiting blood, blood in the urine, or blood in the stool. For bleeding due to deficiency, you can use Moxa on spleen 1. For bleeding due to heat or excess, you can prick to bleed spleen 1. And finally, spleen 1 is a Sun Si Miao ghost point, so that's why it's indicated for certain mental emotional problems. One way to think about this is that spleen 1 is a Jing Well point, so it can quickly drain excess and clear heat, and the spleen channel goes to the heart, so it can calm the Shen. So that's spleen 1. If you remember one thing about this point, I would say definitely remember that spleen 1 stops bleeding. Spleen 2 is the Ying Spring Fire point. Remember that Ying Spring points clear heat. If we combine that with the spleen's function of transforming dampness, we can say that spleen 2 is especially useful for treating damp heat. Spleen 3 is the Yuan source point, and on yin channels, Yuan source points tonify, so spleen 3 tonifies the spleen. And because one of the functions of the spleen is transforming dampness, by tonifying the spleen, this can have an effect of resolving dampness. And something you might notice here that's a little strange, spleen 3 is indicated for both diarrhea and constipation. The idea here is, usually we say that spleen qi deficiency causes loose stools and diarrhea, but another possibility is that there's just not enough qi to activate the bowels and move the stool. So when we say that spleen 3 treats constipation, we mean constipation due to qi deficiency. Spleen 3 is also the Shu Stream point. Remember we said that Shu Stream points treat heaviness in the body and pain in the joints. So we see spleen 3 treating heavy body and pain in the joints. And here, what we're really talking about is B syndrome, or painful obstruction syndrome. This is a condition where an exterior Wind damp pathogen invades the channels and causes heaviness and pain in the joints. And here, we also see lumbar pain, because remember, the sinew channel adheres to the spine. And then, also remember that the spleen houses the intellect and can be taxed by overthinking. So that's why Machiocha includes this function, stimulates the intellect. By tonifying spleen qi, spleen 3 can stimulate the intellect to help with memory and mental clarity. Spleen 4 is the Luo connecting point. Luo connecting points treat disorders of the yin-yang pair, which in this case is the stomach. They also treat disorders along the Luo connecting channel, which in this case, the channel goes to the stomach and intestines. So that's why we say that spleen 4 harmonizes the middle jiao. What we mean here is we're harmonizing the upward direction of the spleen and the downward direction of the stomach. So this point is especially useful for vomiting and diarrhea. Luo connecting points are also used to treat psycho-emotional disorders, and this is especially true here because the spleen channel connects to the heart. Spleen 4 is also the master point of the Chong Mai. The Chong Mai is one of the 8 extraordinary channels. In women, this channel begins in the uterus, and it's also known as the Sea of Blood. So that's why we see spleen 4 treating gynecological disorders. Spleen 5, the name of this point is Shang Qiu or Shang Mound. Now in modern Chinese, the character Shang means businessman or merchant, which doesn't really make a lot of sense here. But in classical Chinese, Shang refers to the second musical note of the pentatonic scale, which is associated with the metal phase. So that's what this name refers to, the metal element. We've actually seen this before with points like Lung 11, Shao Shang, Lesser Shang, or with Large Intestine 1, Shang Yang. So with Lung and Large Intestine, those are points on the metal channels. Here, with Spleen 5, this name is referring to the fact that Spleen 5 is the Jing River and metal point on the spleen channel. Now normally we say that Jing River points are for respiratory problems, like cough, shortness of breath, or fever and chills. But honestly, we don't really see much of that here with spleen 5. But we also said that Jing River points treat diseases of the sinews and bones, and spleen 5 benefits the sinews and bones, especially for B syndrome or pain in the ankle or knee. And we also said that Jing River points are for diseases manifesting as a change in the patient's voice. And here, we see stiffness and pain in the root of the tongue and impaired speech. Remember, both the spleen primary channel and the spleen divergent channel go to the tongue. Spleen 6 is one of the most commonly used acupuncture points. The name of this point is San Yin Jiao, meaning three yin intersection. This refers to the fact that it's a meeting point or crossing point of the spleen, liver, and kidney channels. Since all of those channels have something to do with blood and yin and the lower jiao, this means spleen 6 is a very good point for tonifying blood, tonifying yin, and regulating the lower jaw. In clinical practice, it's really common to combine spleen 6 with stomach 36, since both of these points pretty much tonify everything. Remember, the spleen channel goes to the heart, so spleen 6 also has an action of calming Shen, especially for Shen problems due to blood deficiency. Since it's a meeting point of the liver channel, it can move liver qi and tonify liver blood, and since it's a meeting point of the kidney channel, it can tonify the kidney. And then we should also point out that spleen 6 is contraindicated during pregnancy because it has a strong opening and moving effect on the lower jaw. So spleen 6 joins other points we've learned so far that are contraindicated in pregnancy, like LI4 and stomach 12. Spleen 7, honestly, isn't very interesting. It doesn't have a category, so it isn't always very commonly used. If we wanted to point something out, we could say that the name of this point is dripping valley, and it can be used for water retention and urination problems. Spleen 8 is the Xi cleft point. Remember, Xi cleft points treat acute conditions and pain. Also remember that on the yin channels, Xi cleft points have an additional action of treating blood disorders, meaning blood stagnation and or bleeding. So if we put those two functions together, invigorating blood and treating pain, spleen 8 is a very useful point for treating painful periods. So if a patient has acute dysmenorrhea due to stagnation, we might combine spleen 8 with LI4, since both points are good for moving qi and blood and stopping pain. And Machiocha also mentions that spleen 8 can be used to stop bleeding in cases of excessive menstrual bleeding or blood in the stool. Spleen 9 is the He Si water point, and its main functions are regulating water and transforming dampness. This could be damp heat or damp cold, and it's especially useful for dampness in the lower jaw, for things like difficult urination, retention of urine, diarrhea, or vaginal discharge. And unlike some of our other points for dampness, like spleen 3, spleen 9 doesn't really have much of a tonifying effect, so spleen 9 just drains dampness. Spleen 10 is called Shui Hai, Sea of Blood, so it has a strong effect on the blood. Its two main actions in this regard are invigorating blood and clearing blood heat, and with these functions, it has two main areas of application. Number one is gynecological disorders. So spleen 10 is good for any menstruation problem due to heat in the blood or blood stagnation, like excessive bleeding, bleeding with clots, painful menses, late menses, or amenorrhea. Number two is dermatological conditions due to heat in the blood, rash, itchy skin, eczema, itchy genitals. In fact, it's very common to combine spleen 10 with another point we learned for skin disorders, LI11. After that, the story gets a little complicated. Does spleen 10 also tonify blood? Some people say not so much. It's mainly for invigorating blood and clearing heat. Machiocha, for one, says yes, it does tonify blood, and he provides at least one classical reference to support that. But then again, when you look at Machiocha's point prescriptions for various patterns of blood deficiency, spleen 10 doesn't really show up that much. And one way to resolve this is, there's this saying in Chinese medicine, if blood stasis is not transformed, new blood cannot be generated. So we can kind of say that spleen 10 moves out the old blood to make room for the new blood, and that's how it tonifies. But if you want to tonify blood, I think you're much more likely to go to points like spleen 6 and stomach 36. And then, does spleen 10 stop bleeding? Well, two major causes of bleeding are blood stagnation and heat in the blood, so it definitely stops bleeding that way. But can it stop bleeding due to deficiency? Again, Machiocha at least says yes. So some people will say that since it's called Shui Hai, spleen 10 is useful for all disorders of the blood. Blood stagnation, heat in the blood, blood deficiency, and bleeding. Others will say that spleen 10 is mainly for the first two, blood stagnation and heat in the blood, treating gynecological disorders and skin disorders. And then, a common thing that happens, as we get closer to the trunk, the points get less interesting. Spleen 11 is on the inner thigh, close to the lower jaw, so it's good for the lower jaw, especially damp heat problems like Lin syndrome and itchy genitals. Spleen 12 is in the inguinal area, so it's good for hernia pain and disorders of the lower jaw, like Lin syndrome. Spleen 13 is also in the inguinal area, so it's good for hernia pain. Spleen 14 is on the lower abdomen, so it's good for the lower jaw. Spleen 15 is on the abdomen, level with the umbilicus. Now this one is a little more interesting. Remember, stomach 25 is level with the umbilicus, too soon lateral to the midline. Well, spleen 15 is also level with the umbilicus, but four soon lateral to the midline. If you get these two confused, just remember that stomach 25 has a 2 in it, so it's too soon out. Spleen 15 has a 5 and a 1, and 5 minus 1 is 4, so spleen 15 is 4 soon out. Also remember that stomach 25 is the front moot point of the large intestine, so it has a strong effect of regulating the intestines, treating constipation and diarrhea. Well, since spleen 15 is right next to it, spleen 15 also has a strong effect of regulating the intestines, treating constipation and diarrhea. If we wanted to differentiate these two, Dedman says that stomach 25 is better for diarrhea and spleen 15 is better for constipation. Honestly, I don't know why this is. To me, it seems like it should be the other way around, but that's what the books say. And I'm assuming it's referring to the clinical experience of practitioners in China. Spleen 16 is on the abdomen, so it's good for abdominal things. Spleen 17, the name of this point is food cavity, so it dissipates food accumulation and treats food stagnation. But honestly, I'm not sure that this point is ever actually used this way very much. Really, it's on the ribs, so it's good for lateral costal pain. Spleen 18 is in the fourth intercostal space next to the nipple, so it benefits the breast and promotes lactation. The name of this point is heavenly stream, and it promotes lactation, and I think that's kind of funny. Spleen 19 is on the chest, so it's good for the chest. Spleen 20 is on the chest, so it's good for the chest. Spleen 21 is the great lower connecting point of the spleen. Remember, we said that the spleen great lower channel starts at spleen 21 and spreads over the chest and the lateral costal region. So that's why spleen 21 unbinds the chest and benefits the lateral costal region. And then we said that the spleen great lower gathers the blood of the lower connecting channels of the entire body. So that's why spleen 21 treats pain of the entire body. The name of spleen 21 is Da Bao, which means great envelope or great wrapper. So you can think of spleen 21 wrapping around the entire body to treat full body pain. Then we also see weakness in the four limbs because the spleen governs the four limbs. So let's do a quick review. Spleen 1 is the Jing Wel point, but its specialty is that it stops bleeding. Spleen 2 is a Ying Spring Fire point, so it clears heat, especially damp heat. Spleen 3 is a Yuan Source point, so it tonifies. Spleen 4 is the Luo connecting point, so it harmonizes the spleen and stomach. It's also the master point of the Chong Mai, so it treats gynecological disorders. Spleen 5 is the Jing River point, and it's good for the tongue and benefits the sinews. Spleen 6 is the 3 yin intersection, so it pretty much tonifies everything, especially blood and yin. And it's also contraindicated during pregnancy. Spleen 7 isn't really used that much. Spleen 8 is the Xi cleft point, and it's good for menstrual cramps. Spleen 9 is the water point, so it's good for water and dampness. Spleen 10 is Shui Hai, Sea of Blood. It invigorates blood, clears blood heat, and benefits the skin. Spleen 15 is on top of the intestines, so it's good for the large intestine. Spleen 21 is the great wrapper and treats pain of the entire body. So that is the foot tie-in spleen channel. Now that you've finished this lecture, you can go on the website and find some additional notes and take the practice test. But I hope you enjoyed this one, because that's all for today. Thanks, and see you next time.